Are you prepared to pay more for better public services? The Scottish Labour Party has proposed a 1p income tax rise in Scotland. This week, the economist John Simpson proposed an increase in bus and rail fares in Northern Ireland. Would you accept it if it meant improvements? Would you happily fork out more in rates or tax for better schools, better roads, better hospitals? We've just been talking about. The commentators, Bram Phelan and Geoffrey Peel, with us this morning. What do you think, Bram? Would you pay more?
I would happily pay this to 1p, Stephen, if it would lead to an improvement in public services. Unfortunately, I think it's the Scottish Labour Party are involved in a bit of a stunt at the moment to embarrass the Scottish Nationalist Party. They're ruling out any kind of tax increase at the moment. And I'm not sure whether regional solutions work, from my experience of looking at it. But yes, I will certainly pay a 1p cut if, what do you call it, that money was definitely ring-fenced and earmarked for an improvement of public services, which everyone accepts at the moment, need more funding.
Geoffrey?
Well, I'd assume that all tax increases should be ring-fenced for public services. That's the purpose of tax. I just don't believe in the whole idea of giving my money away to other people to spend for me, and they tend not to be very effective spenders of it. You know, the fact is that most government departments take money off us in order to employ lots of people. So if you increase taxation, the result often is that simply the salary bill increases for the relevant department. There's no appreciable improvement in public services. The fact is that public bodies are often extraordinarily inefficient at delivering good service. You know, public bodies and public-funded bodies. You only had to watch the documentary last night in the BBC about the Kids Company, 650 staff.
Well, that was a charity.
A charity, but funded by public money. You know, no amount of additional funding to that organisation would have made it any more efficient. The fact is that the chief executive invested in swimming pools and opulent
houses. Well, Kids Company was your mate, David Cameron's big society in action.
He's not my mate. I'm not a member of any political party. I think it was disgraceful that so-called charity was funded to such an extent. But it's a good example of how public funding results in often squandering of our money. And after all, it is our money. You know, increases in taxation result in people who earn money giving people to government.
Good afternoon here, Stephen.
To employ more people.
Go on, Brian.
Okay, that was a very bad example from Geoffrey there about a charity, as a critique of public services. First of all, Stephen, I'd like to thank you, if I could, just for a second, on your item this morning about suicide. I think it was a very timely intervention. It was heartbreaking to listen to those people on the radio speaking about their trauma and what they lost. And there's a kind of agreement that to address issues such as that, we need more funding, more help. The mother herself said she didn't think services had improved, and it's too long of a wait and not getting the right help, etc., and charities trying to hold the line, etc. So if we want to really address those sort of problems in society, which are huge problems, and the number of young men, etc., who are taking their own lives, etc., we have to fund public services. Where else is it going to come from? It's, you know.
Yeah, but people might think that the 20-odd% they're paying, Brian, or indeed the 40-odd% they're paying, or indeed the 45% they're paying in income tax, and then you don't get, that's before you get the national insurance, that's before you get to the VAT that you're paying on most things that you go into the shop to buy, is enough.
When you say people, you have to sort of break that down. You say people. There's people who can definitely afford to pay more tax. And what they do is, and then they talk about big companies, they spend millions on trying to minimise their tax bill. So there's other people who haven't got any pay increases for a number of years and are struggling. So it's not just sort of mass of people who all have the same conditions and live under the same sort of, what do you call, economic lifestyle, whatever, you know. The reality is, I mean, what you have to ask Geoffrey is, if you have lower tax, and would Geoffrey like no tax at all, how do you fund public services so that the broad swathe of people can enjoy a meaningful life? How do you fund those services?
If you look at economies which have extremely low tax rates, they often have the best public services. You only have to go to Switzerland. Go to Switzerland, the trains run on time, we have the fast trains, the streets are clean. If you go to Scandinavia, many of those countries have huge amounts of public spending, and actually the public services have improved since they've reduced taxation.
Not true at all. That is actually not true. In other words, that's another bad example after your first example. That's a bad example.
Have you not been to Switzerland? Have you not?
No. I can't afford at the moment to go to Switzerland. I operate on a very tight margin, so unfortunately I can't afford to go to Sweden. But I would like to go, but no, I can't to Switzerland. No, what do you call it? The reality is. And, you know, and again, it can't be sort of denied, whatever, because the government themselves even admitted, the Conservative government admitted, that we have an austerity program in at the moment and a whole series of cutbacks, which has led to massive problems in the health service, etc. The question still remains is, how do you fund public services if you reduce tax? What will pay for the public services? Where's the money going to come so that people can have transport, so people can have wages increase, so that housing is more affordable for people, etc.? Where does the money come from?
Okay, well, let him answer.
Well, obviously, I don't believe in increases in taxation because I don't believe that we should be spending the level on so-called public services.
So where does the money come from?
Let him finish. Hold on.
Let me make the point.
Let's
then.
Let him finish.
If you keep asking me the question and don't allow me to answer. The fact is that the money currently is coming from debt. You know, the fact is that the United Kingdom has £1.5 trillion of debt, and therefore an increase in spending on public services is often funded by debt that we simply cannot afford.
So Northern Ireland,
by the way, is paying the bill for that debt as much as any other part of the United Kingdom.
Northern Ireland also has
a vast deficit.
Are there public services, Geoffrey, you would cut?
I have been on this programme many times, Stephen, talking about public services that I would accept probably should see budget cuts. You know, there are certain, even I, as someone who is a libertarian and a believer in small government, happen to believe that we need a very effective education system.
What should the government stop doing that it's currently doing?
It should stop spending money on frivolous activities. It should Well, like we have discussed on air many times before, arts funding. I think arts funding is often absurd and often misspent.
Drop in the ocean of the overall expenditure, Geoffrey.
It is often you cannot. It is like being a Holocaust denier to suggest that perhaps some of NHS spending is grossly wasted and that the NHS is massively overstaffed. And that is an incredibly inefficient organisation that has become more inefficient the more money that has been spent.
The NHS is overstaffed, you say?
Grossly overstaffed.
Really?
You can point it. Yeah, well, in terms of the amount of money that was spent in the NHS, it increased markedly under the Labour government. Spending on the NHS has been ring-fenced by the Conservative government at the expense of other services. As you yourself have mentioned on air on many occasions, you drive around Northern Ireland's road and it's full of potholes. You know, the fact is we have ring-fenced departments, and as a result, other departments have suffered. We've ring-fenced overseas aid spending, and again, other departments have suffered.
You try telling a nurse or a porter on the ground in some of our hospitals that they're overstaffed.
Well, it is the case that the service provided by the NHS has not improved markedly as a result of significant increases in spending on the NHS, and that has been happening under both the last Labour administration and the current Conservative administration. Money is not often a causal reason why services improve. More often than not, it results in overstaffing and underperformance. And to suggest that is not being a Holocaust denier. It is suggesting that perhaps we could do things a hell of a lot better and a hell of a lot more efficiently.
0-30-30-80-55-55. Are there areas of government, maybe the NHS, education, whatever, where you would happily pay another 1p, 2p on your rate of tax? Are there certain areas, if it was ring-fenced, if it was going directly to that public resource, would you be happy paying more? 0-30-30-80-55-55. Or do you think it should be loaded on the richest, maybe put their tax rate up even more, Brian Peelan?
I go back to that point, and I think what called uses a phrase like Holocaust, etc. in this discussion. I'm going to try and ignore that there. I go back to it. I look at the situation now, and again, I go back to that topic that you discussed earlier on. I'm glad that you brought that topic up as suicide. These things are linked to economic reasons. I would argue that's a direct cause of the increase. I mean, I'm bringing in a housing issue of the magazine that I edit called View on Monday, And we have an article by Professor Siobhan O'Neill from Ulster University of Ulster, who argues that economic deprivation is one of the reasons behind this. And this is in a time of cuts. So the ICTS that the health service is overstaffed is a nonsense. It's just, I must be a lot of porters and nurses, etc., sort of choking on their coffee this morning when they heard that ridiculous argument advanced by Jeffrey. The point is that there have been cuts in these services, and Jeffrey talks about inefficiencies, etc. What we need is actual funding of frontline services.
There have been no cuts in NHS.
Let me finish. Nurses, porters.
What reductions have there been in NHS funding?
Frontline staff have had wages, what do you call it, frozen for a number of years. And therefore, and prices have been going up, so they've been affected by this here. And the Guardian established on a major series, the Guardian newspaper on a major series on the NHS and the problems it
okay.
is facing.
Final word to you, Jeffrey,
so
very
the
quickly.
Not biased.
Very quickly, Jeffrey.
Well, to suggest or to cite Guardian reports as evidence of underspending in the NHS is absurd. You know, the Guardian is a lefty mouthpiece. You know, and I was certainly Brian. Wouldn't recommend The Guardian if you want some evidence base for your arguments.
Okay, I'm sure they would dispute that. Jeffrey and Brian, thank you very much indeed.